necessarily think cultural apologetics is the only, or even always the best, way to defend the Christian faith. But we do think the climate is ripe for cultural apologetics. This practice connects us to vital sources of biblical, theological, and historical wisdom, so we can share and apply the gospel in compelling ways for our secular age. Indeed, we're living amid the largest religious transformation in American history. Some 40 million Americans have left the church in the last 25 to 30 years. Many other Western countries have already seen similar declines. But that's not the only challenge. Since the decline and fall of Christendom, as church attendance cratered across many Western nations in the 20th century, believers in Western countries now face a strange mixture of apathy and antagonism toward the gospel. Many of our neighbors view Christianity as yesterday's news, but also as the source of today's problems. This is a new challenge, a big challenge, and many church leaders have no idea what to do. We hope this book will help. It's all cultural. For many, apologetics is associated with arguments over rational, philosophical proofs. It's a matter of the head instead of the heart, a debate over facts instead of feelings. But no matter what kind of apologetics you practice, you're arguing according to a certain set of rules in a particular language attuned to what you expect to resonate in your time and place. In other words, it's always cultural, never purely timeless. And it's never purely rational. We need to recover apologetics as a matter of the heart and hands, as well as the head. We need to recover apologetics as a project for the whole church, and not just for those who enjoy arguing. Cultural apologetics isn't a new academic discipline. It's a means to reconnect the church to the best biblical and historical resources for presenting and defending the faith, once for all, delivered to the saints. Jude 3. In the Gospels, we see Jesus commonly deploy illustrations from everyday life that connect with his neighbors in an agricultural society. In the book of Acts, Peter's sermon at Pentecost and Paul's sermon on Mars Hill convey the same gospel message, but strike different notes based on their respective hearers, the Jewish diaspora and Greek philosophers. Acts chapter 2, verses 14 through 41, chapter 17, verses 16 through 34. Justin Martyr's First Apology in the 2nd century and Augustine's City of God in the 5th century speak timeless truth in timely ways for dramatically different moments in the history of the Roman Empire. From these biblical and historical examples, you can see there's nothing new about cultural apologetics. No matter your strategy, you can't avoid culture, because culture itself is another way to describe what we mean by religion. Everybody worships someone or something. Missiologist Leslie Newbegin argued that culture is really just another way we describe religion, how we pursue meaning and understanding from life. Religion isn't downstream from culture. Culture is downstream from religion, the inevitable human pursuit of meaning and eternity. And we see that pursuit everywhere we turn, from dense academic texts down to catchy television jingles. Everything from hip-hop music to art house films conveys our society's deepest longings. Watch a sporting event, especially in person, and you'll learn a culture's hopes and fears. In this book, we provide tools to develop your climatology skills. Rooted in the gospel, we want to help amateur and experienced apologists correct and connect to their cultures so they can better help non-Christians see their sin and seek the Savior. Bridge of Hope. Apologetics can never be purely rational because the head never reasons alone. Culture shapes which desires we indulge and which we reject. In the Augustinian tradition, cultural apologists recognize desire as a key motivator for faith. Social psychologist Jonathan Haidt has described the relationship between intuition and reason as an elephant and its rider. Reason may steer, but intuition will only